What I was gonna say. Then maybe we could get some out Wednesday. Yeah. Said.
Thank you. Right, y'all ready? Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
Welcome back to the house of the Lord. We're so thankful for each and every one to come out this way and just be praying for one another. We have some folks that are still really struggling, and we want to lift them up to the Lord in prayer. And then also for our visitors we have, thank you for being here this morning. If you like more information about our church, you can take that little tab in your bulletin, fill that out, and put that in the offering plate, and we can send more information. Or if you got some prayer requests, we'll definitely pray for the prayer requests that you might have. We went out to Clarksville, and we found some folks. They took the church band down there. They didn't wake up, so we're going to change our strategy. Next week, we're going to go through the town at 8 o'clock and honk the horn. But we're going to make contact again this week a couple of times. And so we have a family of seven that's talking about coming and being part of our services. And so let's pray for that. And then also let's pray for our youth leader. You know, we're in need of a youth leader. And we are praying and diligently seeking the right person to come and help us with youth ministry. And so be praying for that also, okay? And just pray for one another. Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Father, we thank you for giving us this opportunity to be in your house and to worship you in spirit and truth. And I pray, Lord, as the praise team will sing praises, Lord, that we will just join in the worship of you. Help us to set aside all the things that are heavy on our hearts and on our minds, and that we would just focus on you this morning. And we'll just never fail to praise you and glorify you for the great God that you are. And all these things we pray in the name of Jesus we pray. And all of God's people said?
Amen.
Amen.
Before we start, am I on? Check. Before I start, I want to remind people that October the 6th, which is, or 7th, 7th, is our next gospel jam. So it's only a couple weeks away. So we do it 6 times a year. Anybody can come. You can sing, play an instrument, and then we'll have supper afterwards. So we're going to have chili. We'll try to get a sign-up sheet for sides and stuff like that. All right? And by the way, do you know what today is? This is the day that the Lord hath made. Ready? Go ahead and stand up.
This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. That the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I will rejoice and be glad.
We don't do this song very often, but we used to do it like 9 years ago. It's called Someday. It has a funny word in it that nobody says anymore either. It's A-Y-E, and it means forever. That's in the chorus. How many people know this song? Yes. Yeah, I know you do. My child's here. Someday, someday, and I The Soul Never Dies. It's kind of an old song, too.
Susan, I could hear them.
Okay. We'll need the video up.
Actually.
Can we start over and turn it up a little bit? Let's start over.
I got one that's a little funnier than that, maybe, I don't know. So I don't know how old I was, maybe 13, 14-ish, and I was riding a school bus to school. My aunt asked me to go to church with her at the Nazarene Church in Greenfield, and we got to the Nazarene Church. Here was this little girl that rode our school bus. And I went up front pew and sat right beside her. I had the biggest crush on that little girl. And I thought I was going to church to be with that little girl. God got a hold of me. The tears started running down my eyes. And I went to that altar and I gave my life to him that day.
Amen.
Strange things he does.
I got one. I was working downtown Cincinnati and... one of the salesmen, he was wearing a little pair of gold feet, real tiny feet, and that was, I said, what's that? He said, well, that's a baby. Anyway, I won't go into that. So anyway, so he invited me to church. It was Landmark in Evendale, and I went, and I got under such conviction, but I would not go forward. But I said, I'm going to come to myself. I'm coming next week, and I'm going to go down that aisle. And that's what I did. I got saved and baptized the same day.
Amen.
And I never will forget that day.
I got one, Pastor Tim. I've been really blessed to be raised in the church from the time that I was little. And I was very blessed to go to Milford Christian Academy for kindergarten and first grade. And I remember being in kindergarten, and my teacher, Mrs. Ennis, was talking about Jesus and salvation, and I got so convicted that day that I actually accepted Christ as my Savior in kindergarten.
Amen.
So I've been very blessed. So bring your children, bring your grandchildren, start them young, and it gives them a good foundation. So.
Amen. Y'all remember her. She's going to be flying out tomorrow morning to go to Canada for work. And I pray that I don't burn the house down. I'm thankful to know she got all the laundry done yesterday. But be praying for her to see what we've got. But God's good. All the time.
Church in style this morning.
Not only is he dressed good, he's driving a classic. Amen.
We're all going to sing. To God be the glory,
great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son, who yielded his life, an atonement for sin, and opened the life.
It's a newer song, and I know newer songs are painful, so we're going to learn it, and we're going to do it again next week.
Lamb of God, by his own being.
What a beautiful song. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Susan and praise team, for your leading us in worship today. And it does our heart well to sing praises unto the King, and it sets the tone for worship. If you have your Bibles, please take them. Everyone say, "Yeah, I got a Bible." All right, we gotta bring our Bibles to church. That way, when we're going out to the driveway and getting in the car, our neighbors will know where we're headed. And I can tell you, the soccer fields are full this morning. Amen. It's just amazing how many families. We got young grandchildren that are playing soccer, so we've been trying to support them, go to their practices and their games. And that's where all the young people are. Amen. And all the kids are on that soccer field. And so, you know, it feels like you almost got to set up a prayer tent there, you know, to let people know that God still exists and God's doing some amazing things. But thank you for having your Bible. If you turn with me to John chapter 14, we're going to be looking in the first six verses. It's very familiar passage of Scripture. And so I hope that you would stand and honor the reading of God's holy word. I'd like to bring a message this morning, trusting Jesus in the midst of our fear. Trusting Jesus in the midst of our fear. And this morning we're going to do a little different, because it's only six verses, and I'd like you all to read along with me today as we would read this, and we could read this all together, because this is a very, very important scripture.
I only got one
verse. Oh, 1 through 6. That's okay. That's why we brought our Bibles. Amen.
Oh.
Todd is quick, amen. I thought that Mitch was going to put Todd in a suitcase. Mitch all week was saying, "I need Todd."
It might get a little crowded in that
suitcase. With freckles, yeah. Freckles would be, you know, all the way there, yeah. All right, see how quick that was? All right, let's read together God's holy word. "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest. How can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." What a wonderful passage of Scripture that really is. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. Father, we know that you're speaking to us. And Lord, as that video demonstrated, it's by your word. Your word speaks to us today. It's a living word. It's alive, and it convicts, it teaches, it helps us to live right. It's instruction. Father, it's being rebuked when we're not living in the way that you want us to live. Father, I thank you for your word, and now I pray that this word might just dwell in our hearts as we would be able to tell someone tomorrow about the hope that we have in Jesus, that we have a Savior who loves us. And we'll never fail to praise you for the great God that you are. In the name above every name, the very precious name of Jesus, we pray. And all of God's people said?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Because Jesus can conquer all of our fear, we have no choice but to trust him. When it gets down to it, he can conquer all the fears that we have in life. That we have no choice but to really trust him. And, you know, he starts off by saying, if you believe in God, believe also in me, right?
Right.
And so he was representing the Father. There's a lot of fear today, isn't there? You know, if you've read the news, the top probably three or four news articles this week is there's a fear of a housing collapse. That's real. commercial property is getting ready to go bankrupt, if you really look at it, because all of the coronavirus had chased a lot of people out of the offices and to work from home, and now all this property is sitting vacant, and that's a real concern all over the place, especially in some of the bigger cities. We have fear of another coronavirus.
Disconnected. Bluetooth pairing.
Oh, I'm pairing. Am I pairing? I hope I'm not pairing. You have been terminated. So there's fear of another coronavirus as we get into the year. We have fear of the dollar failing. If you read a lot of the articles and news media, that's a really big concern. And really, if you think about what would take place if that happens, our lives could be changed overnight. And the way we live could be changed overnight. So there's a lot of fear out there. There's a lot of new diseases, and you know, every time you go to the doctor, you fear you're going to hear the C word. You know, there's just so much taking place. I don't know about you, but I have fear for my children and grandchildren. You know, I can only hope that our kids and our grandchildren have good friends, and because friends do make a difference, right? They're good influences, and you know, I know raising teenage girls, we always try to help them pick their friends, right? You know, how do we do that? We decided to jump on the school buses on Friday night football games and be part of the band parents, you know. That's the best way to spy on your kid in high school, you know, what's going on. So hope they're not watching today. But we enjoy also being with them and doing those things. There's a lot of fear today, right? There's a lot going on. And then there's a lot of trouble also. And so Jesus told his disciples, let not your hearts be troubled. And that word trouble would be kind of like if you took a rock and you tossed it in the middle of a very calm pond. You know how if you toss it out there in the middle, what will happen? You'll get this ripple effect, right? And it just keeps on going. And that's what the Big Bang Theory is about, but we know that that's not what Jesus was talking about, and we know that that theory is not right. It's been proven scientifically not to be right, because the Hubble telescope actually saw the creation of stars outside of a galaxy. So that means there was a void in between the expansion, right? And so don't let them tell you a lie, because we live in a world that's full of lies, and we have the truth. We have the truth of God's word. That's why it's important for us to be in church on a Sunday. But that word trouble is like if you would toss a rock in the middle of a pond, and you know it's real calm, and then you see that ripple effect. And every time I see that, or I go by a pond that's really still and everything, I'm always tempted to toss a rock into it and disturb it, right? What's disturbing you today? That's what Jesus is really saying. What's disturbing you? And we're seeing a lot of things that are very disturbing. Amen? And so we live in that time of in our life. And so Jesus says, you know, if you believe in God, believe also in me. And let not your heart be troubled. That word trouble is the same one that you would find in John chapter 5, where Jesus was, the Bible was telling us about the pool of Bethesda, which is by the sheep gate in Jerusalem, one that they just uncovered, one that they just found here recently, and they had just opened it back up for the public to go to. Sometime in May, God so cherishes his life and health and doesn't come back real soon. We'll be there, and I can't wait to pick up a rock and toss it in there, you know, and trouble, you know. Because what happened was in John chapter 5, the Bible says that at a season that the Holy Spirit would come and an angel would come and stir the water. And then if you had a sickness at the trouble of the water, if you were the first one to enter the water, that you would be healed. And so Jesus was walking by one day. Amen. Aren't you glad when Jesus walks by?
Amen.
He walked by and he saw a man who had been there for 42 years, I believe. And so he asked him, you know, don't you want to be healed? And he goes into the history that Jesus knew about. He said, I every time that the water's troubled, I don't have nobody to put me in. You know what that tells me? When people are going through trouble, they need people to help them in the midst of their trouble, right? And so, yes, we do believe in God. Yes, we do trust God. But sometimes God wants to use us as his hands and as his voice and his heart. And so he says, you know, every time that the water's troubled, I can't get in fast enough. Somebody will beat me to it. And then Jesus touches his life and heals him. Amen?
Amen.
I'm thankful that God can heal a troubled heart. And so as we think about it this morning, I'm praying that God would take his hand and that he would open up your heart and that he would trouble your heart for the things that troubles him. And it's not the first one in, but it's whosoever will let him in. Aren't you thankful for that? See, God is willing to deal with our hearts. He is able to put his hand of mercy on us. And so we see that there's a lot of problems. There's a lot of trouble. And so we can trust the Lord. In this text, we see that Jesus was telling the disciples that he was going to the cross. And he was teaching them at the Last Supper. And this is part of the scriptures that took place. And you remember he said, we're going to Jerusalem that I might die. And remember, I think it was Philip or maybe Thomas, either one. I can't remember now off the top of my head which one it was. And said, well, where else are we going to go? You know, we might as well follow him. We might as well follow him and die with him, right? And then Jesus told the whole disciples that he was going to go to Jerusalem to die. And Peter says, no, you're not going to die. You know, I won't let you die. And then we notice that Jesus told him, well, before this night is over, you will deny me three times. And so we could see that Peter, in his text, there was some confusion. But whenever Jesus told Peter, you're not going to be able to follow me where I'm going, because he was talking about the cross. We notice that Jesus didn't put him down. Jesus didn't rebuke him. But I believe Jesus said these words with full of love, was very compassionate, spoke them very softly. And he told his disciples on this particular occasion, let not your heart be troubled. In other words, he knew that he had it, right? He knew the end before there was a beginning, because he is the beginning and the end. And so Jesus knew exactly what was going to take place. And so as he was telling the disciples, and I could just picture him just very gently, very softly, just almost like he would put his arms around them and says to his children, you know, hey, let not your hearts be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you so. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, so that where I am, you may be also. And so we see Jesus having full compassion and understanding that they had a very, had real fear. I believe the Savior, Jesus, is a very compassionate Savior.
Amen.
I believe he doesn't deal with us harshly. You know, I don't believe that he's up in heaven just getting ready to strike down lightning on us, you know, to take us out. But I think that over and over again, he speaks very softly. with a sweet voice that says, it's okay. It's all right. I see it. I know what you're doing. I know your fears. I know what's playing you. And we know that he says, from God says, I know your heart and I understand your fears. So God knows what we're afraid of. God knows what's troubling us today. And so he cares. Because Jesus was, he understands our fear because he was moved with compassion at a funeral. So he knows what it's like to lose a loved one. He was moved with compassion for those who couldn't walk and who were cripples. He said, take up your bed and walk. And so he knows all about our problems. Amen? And so he is a very compassionate Savior. He fed the hungry, and he cared for the hurting. That's my Jesus. Amen? Somebody says, you know, who is Jesus to you? And I would say that he is the great I Am, but he is a compassionate Savior who cares for us so much, who loves us so much, that nothing that we go through in life isn't first filtered through his hands. Isn't that a great saying? That's Chuck Swindoll said that in one of his books. It's kind of stuck with me all the years. Everything that happens to us first is filtered through the hands of God. And God allows things to happen to us so that we might maybe even bring him glory through all of it. Amen? And so that's the Savior that we have. He loves us that much. You might be here, you might have a fear about getting to heaven. You know, what does it take to become a righteous person? Jesus said, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will no wise enter into the heaven. We know that God spoke in times past through the prophets and through Moses, gave us the Ten Commandments, right? The Ten Commandments are very important, aren't they? That's why the world today likes to get rid of the Ten Commandments, because it teaches us how to live to God. God's commandments, God's standards. And so here we are. We have the righteousness of God that we're trying to pursue. And within ourselves, we can't get there. We are just not good enough. We cannot buy our way into heaven. We cannot steal our way into heaven. There's nothing that we can do that will make it possible for us to be able to stand before God and say, God, let me into your kingdom. Look at all the things I've done for you. It's not going to matter unless we know the Savior. Let not your hearts be troubled. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14 that by the handwritten law and the ordinances of the law was against us, was contrary to us, that he nailed them to the cross. Aren't you thankful that he took all that standard, he took all the pressure off of us. He made it so that we don't have to worry about being good enough. All I want to do is just be good doing it. Amen?
Amen.
We need to be good doing it. Because he took away all of that. By his stripes, we are healed. Amen? It's not our stripes, but his stripes. Every whooping and every stripe and the thorn of crowns, the thorn of crowns that was placed upon his head was all meant for us. But he took it for us.
Amen.
He took the hit. I tell you, he took the hit. Today, that doesn't happen very often anymore, does it? Where somebody takes the hit for you. Jesus takes the hit for us. And so we believe that what he said about the Father is true. Let not your hearts be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. We also know that Jesus conquered a fear of our eternal security, our destiny. Life's most important question is, where will I spend eternity when I pass from this life? When I take my last breath, where will I spend eternity? Jesus says, what would it profit a man if he was to gain the whole world but lose his very soul? And what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And so we notice that Jesus conquered our fear of our destiny, our eternal destiny. If you put your trust in Jesus, guess what? You're walking on streets of gold for the rest of eternity. And all we need is just one day of eternity. Amen? And we'll be walking those streets and be with Him forever and ever and ever. He took away that fear. We don't have to fear. I don't fear, and I hope that you all don't fear when you lay down your head at night whether or not you're going to spend the rest of eternity in heaven or in that terrible place called hell. And there's a lot of people that don't even think about it. And yet they are lost and undone without the Savior. And so we can see that he took away our fear of our eternal destiny. He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions." Jesus was an eyewitness to the Father's house. "No man ascended up to the Father, but him that ascended down from the Father." And so when Jesus was telling his disciples, "In my Father's house are many mansions," he was talking as an eyewitness. He knew without a shadow of a doubt that what the Father's house was all about. And we used to go take trips to my grandparents' house in Campbellsville, Kentucky. And occasionally, my dad would go down to do some work for his mom, and we would talk him into taking one of us, you know. And I think we all had to take turns, you know. So there were six kids, and so we would have to, you know, it would take six trips to grandma's before it would be our turn. And I remember it finally came up, it was my turn, you know, and it's like, oh, this is going to be good. I rubbed it into Mitch a little bit. "Hey, I'm going to grandma's this weekend. I know you're not going, you know." And so we went, and we would go down 68. If anybody familiar with 68 coming out of Lexington? Yeah. What is the biggest event on 68 that you can ever see? You remember what it is? Tammy, you remember? You raise your hand. Daniel Boone's cave. Remember that? Daniel Boone's cave. We're going right by Daniel Boone's cave. And he had, there at the cave, they had this little store where you could buy some souvenirs, right? You could actually buy the flint that Daniel Boone carried, which probably wasn't true, right? But I remember I used to beg all the time, you know, "Can we stop? Can we stop? Can we stop?" And, you know, we would go down. It'd be late on a Friday night, and it would already be closed. And I'd be looking. I'd be watching, you know, 1 mile of Daniel Boone's cave, you know. And I'd look, and it would be closed. You know, I was like, oh, man. You know, so then we would go, and then we would come back on a Saturday afternoon because we had to be back in time for church. And I'd be looking, and sure enough, it was open. Dad, it's open. Can we stop? And it's like, yeah, we'll stop, you know. And I got a raccoon skin hat. Now, how do you think I went home wearing that in front of Mitch? Swinging that thing around. That tail, babe. I've been to Grandma's house. You know, I got to go to Daniel Boone's cave. Look at this, you know, and just rub it in. Now, you believe me, don't you? Why? Because I was an eyewitness. Alberta and I was taking a trip on our anniversary 1 year, and I think it was maybe the third or fourth year that we'd been married. We decided to go to Shaker Village or something there. Yeah, and so we were driving 68. That's the first time I drove 68 since I was a kid. I never drove that road, you know, until this particular time. And sure enough, I saw the sign, Daniel Boone's Cave. And I told Bert, we got to stop. We got to go there, you know. And so we're looking for it, and I'm turning around, and we went past it. It was just a mile up the road, and we went past it, and I couldn't see it. We turned around, went into some farms, you know, size ran. We're looking for this cave. Come to find out, it was sold and given to private property, and you couldn't go there anymore, you know. And so I tried to talk her into staying until dark, you know, and we could sneak in and maybe take a look. But that didn't work so good. You believe me, don't you? Because we did it. And when Jesus said, "In my Father's house is many mansions, if it were not so, I would have told you." Because he come from the Father's house. He saw it. He lived it. He's part of it. He helped create it. And so it's true. Let not your heart be troubled. Jesus had a personal relationship with God the Father. Many times God spoke about his Son. When Jesus was born, he spoke about his Son. When Jesus was baptized, he spoke about his Son. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Jesus' ministry in Hebrews chapter 1 and verses 1 and 2 says, in times past, in some way, God spake to the people, but in these last days he has spoken to us through his Son. And so Jesus' death on the cross, he heard the words from the Father. And on the resurrection morning, the Father was pleased and had a relationship with his Son Jesus. Let not your heart be troubled. And so he is preparing us a place to spend eternity. So I'd like to close with saying that God can also take away our fear of our failures. Sometimes we put our failures way up there, but God can take away that fear. Peter was probably pretty afraid after saying that he would go to the grave with him and walk with him, and then he failed the Lord three times. But we know that each time that he failed, Jesus asked him the question, do you still love me? And I'm thankful that if I fail God, I still hear those words. I understand, but do you still love me? Are you still willing to serve me? And so we serve him because of who he is. There's a man who had a bicycle, and he was going across a river on a tight wire rope. And first he walked across it. And then the crowd all cheered, and they were all excited about him being able to do that. And then he puts a bicycle on there, and he yells down, do you think I can do it? And they all, no, yes, we believe you can do it. He goes, great, I'm looking for a volunteer because this bicycle is a bicycle for two. There's a difference between faith and trust. We believe God, right? We believe in God. We believe in this word. We believe everything that Jesus said. But then there's a difference between trusting him. We have to trust him. And so trust and faith, I kind of put it that faith and trust equals sacrifice. When we're willing to sacrifice for the cause of Christ, it shows that we have faith in him and we're trusting him when we're willing to give up. I had a weird dream the other night. I think I told you, Alberta. I can't remember if I did or not, but it was a weird dream. And I dream that that we sold our house. You know, and I woke up in the middle of the night, and I woke up in a different house, and I was on a mattress in a living room floor, and I recognized the living room was the very first house that we ever bought. We bought our first house out of the Cincinnati Enquirer. It was listed as a private owner, and we bought this house and needed a lot of work. We fixed it up, a very small house. And I dreamed that we sold our house, we moved back into our first house. And I remember waking up in the middle of the night, and I told Alberta, why did we do this? Why did we sell our house? Why are we sleeping on a mattress in the middle of the living room? And I remember in my dream, Alberta says, I told you not to do it. Hey, just being honest here. But I remember as I was praying the night of, before I went to sleep, I asked the Lord this simple question. Is there anything in my life that I wouldn't be willing to give up for you? Now, I'm not saying God wants us to sell our house, but I'm saying that if I'm willing to keep our house, Whosoever shall lose his life shall find his life. I don't think I said that right. Whosoever will give to their life will lose their life, but whosoever shall lose the things of life, he'll give you life. I think you all understand what I'm saying. That's trusting God in the midst of our fears. We have a lot to be afraid for in the day and age in which we live. Our children, and I fear for them.
Right.
And the age in which we're growing up, it's definitely different. It has changed so much in the last 2 years. I can't even imagine going all the way back from when we were in school. Let's have a song of invitation. Are you trusting Jesus? Are you trusting Him? Is there anything that you would hold on to that would cause you not to trust Him? Or is everything that God has given you, are you willing to give back to Him? Are you willing to say, God, I'm troubled. I'm fearing You. Let Him have His way this morning. Tammy, what are we singing?
I Surrender All.
Great song.
Right.
Great song. Yeah.
All to Jesus I surrender, wholly at His daily give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender.
Thank you all for being here this morning. Thank you for choosing Bethany Baptist to come and worship today. I pray that you will have a wonderful week and that you'll just trust Jesus throughout each day this coming week. Does anyone have anything they'd like to share before we come to a close?